Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, hello, Cut the Fat podcast listeners. My name is Blythe Ahlberg, and I am joined here today with my partner, Dr. Ray Heinisch.
Hey, guys. How are you? It's good to be with you.
Yeah, we're excited to be here. We've got another great topic today, like we always do. We are going to be discussing high-protein diets and kind of giving our little review. One of the representatives of the high protein diets we're going to be talking about today is the Atkins program.
Right. And that is kind of synonymous with most high protein diets. And in fact, when we look at the program, and the Atkins program has had a number of alterations and evolutions over the years, but when you look at the current Atkins style program, it is a good representation of the majority of the high protein diets out there.
Yeah.
And in fact, most people, as you mentioned earlier, if you were out and about, if somebody's on a high-protein diet, what are they going to call it?
Oh, I'm on the Atkins program. So everybody kind of knows what you're talking about when we say Atkins.
Right. So the Atkins program is basically broken down into four phases. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll go through each phase, and we'll kind of give you the good, the bad, the ugly associated with each of those phases and their philosophies and their principles as to how to apply them to your life. And what we're going to try to do, Blythe, is we're going to try to draw out the golden nuggets and set aside the myths and misconceptions associated with the high-protein diets so okay. We can use what's good and get rid of what's bad.
Okay. You know what? I do have some favorite things about this diet and some not so favorite things. So I can't wait to talk about them.
All right. Well, why don't we start? We'll go ahead and start with phase number one of the program.
Okay.
Now, phase one is called the induction phase.
Yes.
And during this program, the induction phase basically has you eating a very, very low carbohydrate diet. In fact, the only carbs that are really allowed during this phase is a small quantity of vegetables.
Yes.
No bread, no pasta, no rice, no cakes, no candies, no any other kind of grain or pasta or anything, right?
Right. Well, yeah, that's exactly right. That is exactly what the induction phase is, and it's like the kickstart, quote-unquote, phase. The Atkins diet claims that you can lose up to 15 pounds, and the first phase goes for 2 weeks.
Right.
My favorite part about this is if you go onto the Atkins website, I think it's just atkins.com, you can actually look at a list of all of the things that you are allowed to eat, and it tells you how many grams of net carbs you're allowed to eat.
Right, so it's 12 to 15 grams of what they call net carbs, which
right.
We'll talk about that in the next phase because they really get into that in a much higher detail in the next phase.
So, right.
But you're allowed 12 to 15, quote-unquote, net carbs during this part of the program. And what that equates to is about 6 loosely packed cups of salad and 2 cups of cooked vegetables per day.
Okay. Which is probably more than most people are eating.
That's accurate, I'd say.
Yeah. Okay. So my favorite part is that they tell you the foods you can eat. They give you some great, just for instance, they list pheasant, quail, Cornish hen. They list all these things on the website that gives me ideas for new recipes. It kind of helps you think outside the box a little bit so you don't get really bored. I also really like that it's only 2 weeks. And I think pretty much everybody could get their head around, 14 days of this
right.
induction phase. The thing that it doesn't mention and that I find from working with clients is that going carb-free for 2 weeks is going to be a challenge.
It is a challenge.
If you're somebody who eats cereal for breakfast and potatoes at dinner or French fries with your lunch, this is going to be a challenge. And there is no I don't know. I feel like there should almost be like a warning. You know, if you are someone who eats dessert every night, this will be challenging. However, you know, and then go into it's only 14 days and try to motivate people to get through that. Just telling somebody what to eat and saying choose from these foods, what I've found personally as a trainer and someone who helps people with their diets, doesn't work as well as giving them a reason why.
Right. So the first phase, the induction phase, is designed to do one thing, and that is to – well, it's designed to do two things. It's designed to, number one, shock your system back into insulin sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
The whole concept of Atkins and high-protein diets in general is that insulin is the cause of your weight problems. So if you can decrease your insulin or how much insulin your body secretes in a day, then you will open up the – or unlock the doors to the fat cells – and allow that weight to be released, allow that fat to be burned away. But as long as insulin levels are high, then you cannot burn fat. So that's the whole concept associated with the Atkins and high-protein diets.
Yes.
Now, what I like about the induction phase, why don't we do this, Blythe? Why don't we start with the good, and then we'll talk about the bad. And if there are any uglies, we'll throw them in.
Okay. Okay, well, the good is that it promotes eating vegetables. I think that is great. I think most of society does not understand, nor do they use vegetables as like a fluff when they're eating food. We're always so worried about, you know, what tastes good. I'm not saying vegetables can't taste good, but those things are filling. Mm-hmm. You know, if you start looking at the importance of adding vegetables to each meal, you'll start becoming fuller and you'll be eating less of the other things. We've talked about meal syntax before.
Yeah.
And this will help with that. I totally believe that.
Right. Now, the induction phase really is only allowing for about one salad. I mean, 6 cups you think is a lot of vegetables, but when it's loosely packed lettuce and such, it's basically about a salad size bowl of vegetables.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's not a whole lot, but it's typically more than the average person gets, especially because the average person consumes their vegetables in the form of French fries and potato chips. And so it is an improvement over that. So that's number one, is it does allow for at least that quantity of vegetables. And that's oftentimes more than the average person gets in their diet.
Right. Oh, and by the way, on the website, they do list the amount of net carbs and they tell you the measurements. And I think that's very, very helpful. That's another bonus.
Number two, it is a 2-week program. Now you can pretty much do anything for 2 weeks. You can force yourself and you can will yourself into 2 weeks of following basically any program. So that's also, I'd say, a plus as well. It's designed to, number one, control insulin. I said there were two things. And the other thing is to get you to lose some of the excess weight so that you're motivated to continue the program. And
that's
I think
exactly
it achieves
right.
that, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Number three is the fact, you know, you mentioned that it allows you to think outside the box. But I think one of the benefits associated with the induction phase is the fact that it is all inside the box, is the fact that it's easy to follow because you don't have to think about things. Basically, you can eat meat, some cheese, a small salad.
Eggs,
and that's
bacon.
It. When mealtime comes around, I think a lot of people, especially when they're trying to lose weight and they don't have any specific program that they're following, they have a lot of options and it confuses people. And when you confuse people, it causes paralysis. And when you're paralyzed, you end up just doing the status quo and eating whatever's available to you.
Okay, that makes sense because me personally, just the way I've been eating for the last, you know, 10 or 15 years, I do have a small variety of foods that I choose from. So this is kind of the same thing. It's like following a menu.
Right.
It's a menu to choose from. It's helpful.
So I think it's also it's kind of the final thing that I think is a plus is that it's beginning to get you into a routine. Right.
Yes. Yes, it will help you establish a routine, that's for sure.
Three regular meals or five small meals is basically what it's doing. It's having you get into a routine of things, and it's going to break you of those cravings. It's going to force you. It's almost like going into rehab for carb addiction.
Yeah, sugar addiction, carb addiction,
exactly. Yes. You have to kind of push through that first phase of withdrawal, and that's what this program is designed to do. And when you keep telling yourself 14 days, it's only 14 days, only 2 weeks, then it allows you, the strength to push through those cravings, right?
Right.
Anything else we're missing on that?
I don't think for phase one.
There
no.
Are,
I,
there aren't a lot of bad things to it. That, you know, I said the good, the bad, the ugly. There aren't a lot of bad and ugly to it. If the induction phase was the entire program, I would have plenty of bad things to say about it. But it's
not. Oh, yeah.
It's only a two-week program. And I think for a two-week program, the induction phase, and again, you can go to adkins.com and go right in there and see the entire program is right there on the website for free.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's very, very easy to follow. It's a very simple website to use, you know, for those of you who aren't computer savvy. Mm-hmm. Very, very simple. I mean, it lists all the foods and the serving sizes and everything there for you. Right. So
even the fact that they recommend artificial sweeteners, even that doesn't bother me because, again, it's only for 14 days. So I have nothing really bad to say about the induction phase.
Okay.
If you want to do that, it's a good way to start a program. Go very high protein, very low carb, shock your system into insulin sensitivity, and then you move on to phase two.
Actually, you know what? Something interesting that just came to mind when you said it's a great kickstart to this. It would be a great kickstart to any program for that matter.
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
All right, so that brings us to phase two. Now, phase two is what they call the ongoing weight loss phase. Now, a lot of these programs are always looking for witty ways to get you to remember stuff. So they call this the OWL phase, okay. Ongoing weight loss.
Got it.
O-W-L. So during the OWL phase, I'm just going to say ongoing weight loss phase because I feel ridiculous calling it the OWL
phase. The OWL phase.
But during this phase, they basically begin to let some slack out with the carbohydrates, right?
Okay, which after 14 days, people will probably be ready to do.
Okay, so there are some good, and in this case, there are some bad that we need to talk about.
Okay, sure.
Because this is a longer phase. Do you remember how long they said this phase is? I think you just continue it until you're getting close to that, to about, you continue it until you're 10 pounds away from your goal weight.
That's exactly right. So this could be a really long time for some people, and it could be not so long for others. But I think this is where you will spend most of your time.
Yes.
So they suggest that you add the induction phase menu to the menu that they list on the website under phase two, which has got some higher fat foods. They add nuts, berries. So you've got some fruits and things back in there. Some more cheeses, some juices and things like that.
Okay.
That kind of spruce up the menu a little bit.
Okay. And so the intention of this the purpose of this phase is to get the weight loss to continue to come off, but at a slower rate. So this is where they really start to introduce this concept of what's called net carbs. Okay. And net carbs basically speak to the quantity of carbohydrates that you can absorb and burn for energy. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I have to say, the way they use the net carb concept is a little bit skewed.
And okay.
I'm
going to
talk
me your
about
thoughts.
Why that is in a second. But the whole purpose of this program is to get you to the point, to get you to increase your carbohydrates slowly until you're losing about 1 to 2 pounds of weight per week.
Okay, so there's some experimentation.
Right, which I think is a good thing. I like I like this concept of customizing your carb intake to your body.
That's because exactly right.
You can have 100 people and you may have 30 different carb quantities that each one of those people can consume before they put on weight. So one
right.
person.
And I really like this too. This is a huge plus for me.
And I think it's a good concept. This is one of those golden nuggets to take. And we're always talking about this. Customize your program to your body.
So the goal is to get in as many, and I'm going to say calories and just kind of loosely term that, as many calories as possible each day without gaining, still losing.
Right, right.
So you're going to have to really pay attention to your body. And again, food logging comes in, is very important.
Well, let's
during this phase.
Let's
so you
not
can look
use
at
the word calories. Let's say to consume as much food as you can.
Okay, that sounds better.
While still losing weight.
Okay.
Real food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so in this case, they have specific guidelines. They want you to slowly increase your carb intake or your net carb intake to the point where you're losing about 2 pounds a week.
Okay.
Okay.
So now you tell, I want to hear what you don't like about the net carbs.
Well, there's, I think, a couple things that I do like. I like the fact that the carbs are customized. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I like is they introduce this concept of the carbohydrate creep. You remember reading about that?
No.
The carbohydrate creep is this phenomenon that naturally occurs when people are on low carb or high protein programs. They start to sneak in carbohydrates.
Yes.
You know, it slowly begins to increase underneath the radar because they start saying, well, I'm going to use a little bit more ketchup.
Yes.
Or I'm going to start to add just a tad bit of sugar in my coffee in the morning, just a tad, just to give it a little bit of sweetness. But it's still a third the amount that I would normally use. You start to drink a little bit more milk. You know, so stuff starts to creep in under the radar, if you will.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Actually, I do remember reading about that. But that's funny because this happens. I don't care what diet you're on. That happens daily anyway. I mean, we creep so many things in. It's not even funny.
Right. It's true. It's true. And that's one thing we have to really defend ourselves against. And it's an indication that this is just this carbohydrate creep or the food creep that we see in general dieting is a good indication that everything is being run subconsciously. Is that this part of the brain that manages the subconscious is the one that's in control of our eating. Did you know, Blythe, that people who suffer with – who are severe dieters or people who suffer with things like bulimia – and who consume very, very small quantities of carbohydrates, I mean minuscule, they're literally starving their bodies. They have a significantly increased risk of waking up in the middle of the night without realizing it, getting up, walking into the kitchen, eating food, going back to bed, and never realize that they did that. It's called sleep eating.
Okay.
Eat a meal totally while asleep, eat a meal and go back to bed and not realize that they had eaten a meal.
Is it just because your body is in such need?
It's the subconscious mind that is protecting you from death. That's what it is. And to a lesser extent, that's what this carbohydrate creep is. That's what the food creep is when people who just do regular dieting is the body's subconscious mind is taking over your actions.
Hmm.
And so one of the goals when we're talking about finding a weight loss program that works – life for lifelong purposes that works for the long term. It's about getting our bodies to the point where it's not creeping. It doesn't feel the need to creep because we're nourishing the body in such a way that you're still losing weight. You're still achieving the body that you want to achieve, but you're not having these cravings that are happening underneath the radar. Get me?
And trying to sneak stuff in. Okay. Yeah. So it's finding a happy medium.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So that's the good. Let's get to the bad. The bad is the fact that this is the point where they really start to introduce what I call the pseudo foods.
Okay.
You know what the pseudo foods are, right?
Are they high fat?
No, these are like the fake foods.
Oh. The bars and the shakes and things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this.
The marketing program of the Atkins diet.
Right. So let me ask you this. Did you ever question why the entire diet program is available for free online? When the Atkins program started as a book and is still a book today. Now, it's like I said, it's evolved over the years. The Atkins diet, the Atkins diet revolution, the new Atkins diet revolution, and now it's the new Atkins for a new you. So it's had its evolution over the years. But did you ever wonder why the entire program, including the lists of foods that you're permitted to eat, is available for free online? Why do you think that would be?
Well, I know exactly why that is. Because there are products that you can go out there and purchase, and they do market. You know, one of the things I noticed when I logged onto the website is they call it Atkins, and then it's, you know, like shiny and nice, and then it says sweet. Everybody wants to hear sweet.
This is the tagline.
Sexy. Because we're all after a sleek, sexy body. And number three is science. So basically, they've scientifically formulated this product that is going to help you achieve this sexy physique.
It's a brilliant tagline. It really is.
Oh, my God. I mean, I read it, and I'm like, dang, you almost got me sold. But the one thing is, and it is a downer for me in this program, too, is that there are so many Atkins style foods out there. You just go to your local grocery store and look in the diet section or it depends on where you go, but they've got bars, they've got drinks, they've got
shakes.
Shakes, they've got little packed snacks. They've got all sorts of stuff you can choose from. The problem with that is you can't only eat that stuff. Go back to the first phase where we started, and basically they talk about
real food.
Eating vegetables and real foods. Mm-hmm. Then they introduce the supplements.
Right. The only reason the whole program is available on here, it used to be Atkins made his money from the sale of his books, right? And then I think he also had a newsletter as well, but it was information. He made his money from the sale of information. Now, get this. In 1998, this is a quote from the 1998 version of the Atkins diet book.
Okay.
He writes, sweeteners such as sorbitol, malitol, and other hexitols, which are sugar alcohols, mm-hmm. are not allowed. Nor are any natural sweeteners ending in the letters OSE, O-S-E, such as maltose, fructose, etc. Okay, so that's from the 1998 version of the book.
Okay.
Now, the 2002 version, although it is important that you eat primarily unprocessed foods, some controlled carb foods products can come in handy when you are unable to find appropriate food. Take for a meal or need a quick snack. And more companies are creating healthy food products that can be eaten during the induction phase of Atkins. And it's at this point that he starts to say, okay, well, now you can consume sugar alcohols like sorbitol, maltitol, glycerin, hexitols, sucralose, and so forth.
Right? So I wish I had a nutritional label of one of the bars or something in front of me, because I'm going to bet that some of those ingredients are listed in almost every single Atkins product
right.
out there.
Right. I mean,
because most of them are sweet and like great tasting foods or right. supplements.
And so the whole reason they have the diet online for free is because they don't make their money on the sale of the book anymore. They make mm-hmm. their money on the sale of the foods that they're right. providing. And the difference between the 1998 Atkins diet and the 2002 version was the fact that he was unleashing and unrolling. He was rolling out his new line of Atkins snacks and foods. So now all of a sudden it became okay to use sugar alcohols. Now, there was no new evidence or new scientific proof between 1998 and 2002 that the sugar alcohols were any less of a problem for people. Sugar alcohols, for example, the whole reason he says sugar alcohols are now okay is because those sugar alcohols do not appear to impact blood sugar. And again, when we go back to the philosophy of Atkins, mm-hmm. it's about blood sugar, right? Controlling blood
yes.
sugar and controlling insulin levels.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, sugar alcohols, people presume that it means sugar alcohols are not used or not caloric, meaning that they don't have any calories. But in fact, a lot of them do have calories.
Yes, they're just minimal.
Right.
But usually we don't just stop at one. It's like one packet of Splenda. You know, it says it's got no sugar in it, but it actually...
It's a sugar alcohol.
It's a sugar alcohol, yeah.
And so the question is, why is it now okay when then it wasn't? And the only purpose is, again, because now they're putting out the foods. And so the whole purpose of the Atkins company is not to sell information anymore.
Right.
It's to sell nutritional supplements.
Right.
So does that taint the information provided? I think it does on some level. Because
okay.
I don't necessarily agree with the whole concept that a net carb, and this is how they calculate the net carbs. You take the total carbohydrates minus the fiber minus the sugar alcohols. So you subtract the fiber and the sugar alcohols from the total number, and that's the quote-unquote net carbs that are available. Those are the carbs that can cause – that you have to count during the program. So to me, you must count the sugar alcohols because, number one, they are absorbed. They are metabolized, and they do contain calories.
Yeah.
And so you can't ignore them.
Right. So it's a little misleading.
It is.
Yeah. That's tough because then you end up – that's setting you up for sneaking stuff in.
Right. And so a net carb – let me tell you what the real definition of a net carb is.
Okay.
It's total carbohydrates minus the fiber, period. Okay.
Okay.
So that, to me, is the net carbs. You have to count the carb alcohols, the sugar alcohols.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
What else is there? Any other stuff that we need to talk about in here? I think that's pretty much my only complaint with this is now they're beginning to prepare you to purchase the foods that they produce rather than eating real whole foods. And any program that requires that, I think, is setting you up for – failure in the long run.
Well, you know, it kind of reminds me of like a Jenny Craig program. Not picking on Jenny Craig, but if it's a diet where you have to eat their food, a good question is, am I going to do this for the rest of my life? I mean, are you going to carry around Atkins bars in your purse and eat two or three of those a day for the rest of your life? Probably not.
Right. And you know what I've noticed about Atkins? Because I have done Atkins before years ago. And I did eat the bars years ago. And what I noticed about them is even though there are a number of different flavors available, and there are more available today than there ever were back then, but the fact of the matter is you get sick of them. It doesn't matter. You get sick of the sugar alcohol flavor and taste.
Yeah. And you know something else that, you know, I go to the store every once in a while and pick up a protein bar because eating something like that is better than just starving and not eating anything, in my belief. But I think that this kind of sets you up for depending on and making it okay to depend on those types of foods.
Agreed.
But that's the whole marketing aspect of it. So that's kind of the plan.
Yeah. And that's my problem, is that is part of the plan.
Yeah.
And so anything that, again, forces you to rely on somebody else or some other company for your success when it comes to weight, it can't work forever. It simply cannot work forever, because there are going to come times when you won't have them available to you.
Right.
And exactly there will come times when you won't want to eat them. You'll want real food. Your body will crave real food.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly right.
I think we beat this one up.
Yeah, so that's good for the owl phase.
Okay, so phase three. This is the last 10-pound phase. So once you've lost enough weight where you're pretty close to finish to achieving the body that you want to achieve or the weight that you want to achieve, this last 10 pounds, the whole purpose of the program is to begin to, again, loosen the slack up a bit and to consume more carbohydrates. This time they want you to find what they call their ACE. Again, there's one of those acronyms, which stands for Atkins Carb Equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the number of carbs that you can consume and not lose or gain weight.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. So, I mean, that's the whole purpose of the last 10-pound phase.
Right. They want you to kind of test the threshold to – the carbohydrate threshold. So eat as many as you can without putting on weight. But again, it's an experimental phase. So it's going to take a little bit of time. They want you to lose the last 10 pounds slowly, which I think is a good plus. I think that if you've had rapid weight loss over, you know, if you've just lost 100 pounds on the Atkins program, I think that it's very important to ease into or slow that weight loss down so you can you kind of let that resonate, because after losing a large amount of weight in a shorter amount of time than, you know, if you were to lose 2 pounds a week for years and years and years, I think losing at this rate kind of messes with your head a little bit when you slow that down.
Right. It's true. Yeah. But the truth is, the longer you go on phase two, the slower your weight loss is going to be anyway.
That's a point. Okay.
Yeah. Which is why I think phase three is kind of academic, in that it's someone saying, well, it should be this way. Because in my experience, in the real world, what I've noticed is when you get to those last 10 pounds, you need to become more strict, more focused, not less strict and less focused, especially when we're talking about carbohydrate levels.
Right. No, I'm totally with you on that one. If you're going for the quote unquote last 10 pounds, everybody, there's a reason that's used as a marketing tactic, because you do need to become more strict.
Yeah. So I don't quite understand how they can make phase three about loosening the slack or taking in more carbohydrates if you're getting to the last kind of 10 pounds of weight, which is that stubborn fat.
Well, you know what? I kind of think it's a continuation of phase two of the owl phase. And it's just, you know, give it a try, see how you do. I'm going to venture to say, and it's just a guess, there's no research to prove what I'm about to say, I'm going to guess that most people will go right back to phase two for the ongoing weight loss after they go maybe a week or two, maybe satiate themselves with a little more carbohydrates. It says you can add some white potatoes or, you know, things like that. You might incorporate those into your diet and then find that you put on a pound or you don't lose any weight. You revert back to phase two.
Right. And I do like the fact that, again, it is suggesting a more customized approach.
Mm-hmm.
But again, when you're talking about the last 10 pounds, which we call the stubborn weight, that's when you have to really get focused. And I think it's a mistake to, if you're talking about really getting rid of those last 10 pounds, it's a mistake to loosen up the slack. We should be tightening it up a bit.
I agree with you.
And so the other issue I had with this is by the time you get to phase three and phase four, which is their lifelong maintenance phase,
mm-hmm.
the program is beginning to look like a standard low-cal program, just with a tendency to be a little bit higher in protein.
Yeah, and I really like, again, I mean, this is another bonus, is that they add some more fruits for you to choose from. It also puts the serving size and the net carbs. I think this is a slow way of educating people, get people to become accustomed with the values of some of these foods. It's portion size. It's the amount of carbohydrates. You're slowly learning what types of foods you can't eat. So it's not really any new news. The information's always been there and available, but it's slowly breaking it to you.
But that's a really, really good point. And my problem with that is that through the entire course, they really have not given you tools, tactics, or skills to use to be able to maintain that for a lifetime. Because by the time you get to phase four, it looks like most other diets on the market with a higher tendency towards protein, higher protein, and practically no refined carbohydrates, with mm-hmm. the exception of their shakes and their bars, basically.
Well, so, I think part of it is because they do hope that you become reliant on the product.
Right. And mm-hmm. that's my point. That's my problem, is that they really haven't throughout the program given you tactics to really maintain that in real life. Because by the time you get to phase four and you look at the recommendations that they make, if you hadn't been through the whole high protein component of it, you would basically be saying, well, this is like most diets on the market today.
Right.
And so and the problem isn't that you didn't know this stuff. The problem is you don't know how to make it work in the microculture of your life.
Right. Yeah. You summed it up there. So I think Mr. Adkins had a great idea. I think that it will work for most people, as long as you can implement and keep it natural.
Right.
The only problem I have is the whole marketing part behind it.
Right. Okay, so somebody, one of our listeners, or one of our past listeners, she apparently doesn't, I don't have much faith that she still listens, but she had wrote an email. And so why don't we just quickly go through three of her points of attack.
Is this part of the ugly, Ray?
This is the ugly. This is the ugly.
You said good, bad, and ugly.
Good, bad, and ugly. So this is the ugly.
Okay.
All right. This is a young lady by the name of Carol who wrote this email out to us. Now, there was a series of emails back and forth. They were fairly short. I don't remember what the first issue that she had with us is, but here are her three points about how she said we've done a great disservice for people. She says, my question was, what misinformation are you referring to? Because she had stated that we gave misinformation. She said, well, what exactly the Atkins diet is not a no-carb diet. Had you read a single book on the subject, you would know this. Well, we know, and not only have I read practically every version of the book since 2002, but I know for a fact that it's not a no-carb diet. But in the beginning, it's practically a no-carb diet.
You know, for any bodybuilder or figure competitor or anybody getting ready, that's what we call a no-carb diet, when you're strictly eating vegetable carbohydrates and that is it.
Right. And if she had listened to the podcast, she'd know that we don't believe Atkins to be a no-carb program. It is a low-carb program, mm-hmm. a very low-carb program in comparison to the average person's lifestyle.
So, yeah, I think most people would agree with that.
Right. And then B, she said on how unhealthy the Atkins diet is, apparently we had mentioned that the Atkins diet is not a healthy diet. Now, keep in mind, some of the earlier diets, I would say, weren't quite very healthy. Some of the earlier versions of the Atkins diet, because his approach has, again, evolved over the years. In the beginning, in the earlier stages of it, it was very, very high protein, very low carb, and again, he didn't really speak to the quality of the foods that he was eating. And so she wrote on how unhealthy the Atkins diet is because he didn't, quote unquote, care about the quality of food. I would bet that I probably eat more vegetables than you do, and I'm on the strictest phase of the diet. Vegetables are prominent on this diet. Moderate protein is important. Fat is essential to proper function of the body. I have not seen a single study that shows any correlation between heart disease and saturated fat. Yet you imply that because bacon is allowed on the diet, it is unhealthy. Okay, so number one, Atkins would go on the media and gloat about all of the fat and protein that he would eat. Mm-hmm. You know, steaks, bacon, right. Eggs, you know, and stuff.
And with as many yolks you want.
Uh-huh. And such, yeah. And so he really did not push the quality of the foods that you consume. And I don't think that we should be eating poor quality meats, for example, in high quantities. If we're going to eat meat, large quantities of meat, we should make sure that they're cleaner sources and leaner cuts of protein.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he didn't really care about the leanness of the protein. I think it's important. And here's why. Because it's not necessarily the saturated fat. Saturated fat is a very safe fat. In fact, it's considered neutral to the heart. Most people don't realize that saturated fat is a neutral fat to the body.
Okay.
It's the polyunsaturated fats that when they're cooked and damaged in the cooking process, they can culminate in heart disease and stroke and cancers and so forth. It's the polyunsaturated fats that are naturally found in animal fats, but also in vegetable oils. And, you know, the old version and the new version of the Atkins program is okay with canola oil and vegetable right. oils and cooking in those oils. Back in the day, Atkins really didn't care about the quantity. This time, in the newer program, they're saying just use enough oil to prevent the food from burning. So at least they're becoming a little bit more acclimated to the fact that the fat content and the type of fat that we eat does matter. So my problem is with the whole idea that as much fat as you can eat is fine, and the quality of those fats doesn't matter, because it really does.
Well, you know, the one problem I have with that is, you know, incorporating the oils and things as fats. Once they're cooked at a certain temperature, and there's no regulating here what temperature you're cooking at, those things turn to toxins anyway. I mean, I wouldn't even consider it a fat after you heat it up, you know, to where it turns black in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
Is it even considered a fat anymore at that point?
Right. We need to realize that it's not the saturated fat that's our problem. It is the polyunsaturated fats. And those are the fats, and even the monounsaturated fats like olive oil, mm-hmm. can become damaged and rancid in the cooking process.
Mm-hmm.
So hands down, the best cooking oil to use is going to be coconut oil, which is a saturated fat, because mm-hmm. it doesn't get damaged and oxidized in the cooking process. Plus, it gives food a great flavor. But the point is, I want to be able to choose where the fats come from that enter into my body, because one of the most important things when we're speaking to health, more than we're speaking to weight loss, but one of the most important things for health is how good of a quality of fat do we have in our body. If we're eating damaged, oxidized, rancid, polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fats in high quantities, we will end up with heart disease and heart issues later down the line. We have to really be careful with that.
Yeah, as with the quality of any food.
Right.
You know, I mean, would you pick canned spinach or fresh spinach?
Right. So she was assuming that the reason I was saying it's unhealthy is because of the saturated fat content. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the saturated fat content. I care about the polyunsaturated fats.
Okay.
All right. So that's that. The final point she wrote was how Atkins died. Now, we mentioned that he fell and hit his head, ended up in a coma, ended up dying in the hospital from that. But there was some controversy because nobody was permitted to do an autopsy on his body. And it really does beg questions. Why wouldn't they allow one of the world's premier, quote-unquote, nutrition experts to evaluate what it was he died from?
And right. Definitely creates a little bit of controversy there.
It does. So she wrote how Atkins died. This was an egregious wrong. Instead of finding out facts, you and your partner, meaning you, Blythe,
implied
that even though Atkins died from a fall, supposedly, he really probably died from heart troubles related to a bad diet. He had cardiomyopathy, probably caused by a virus. When he entered the hospital, he was a trim 190 pounds, quite appropriate for a 6-foot-something frame. His cardiologist stated flatly that he had no signs of arterial blockage and that his circulatory system was healthy. But you wouldn't know that, because instead of finding out the facts, you chose to use snide innuendo to tarnish this man's reputation.
Ouch.
Okay, so number one, I have respect for Atkins because he did get the topic. He did get the discussion started around the impact of carbohydrates on the health of our body. And we, you and me both, Blythe, ascribe to the belief that carbs in excess are a major, major issue in our diet, especially refined carbohydrates, but total carbohydrates in our diet. We get way too many of them.
Yes, true. Totally agree. Almost everything you find in the grocery store aisles that is not around the perimeter of the store, mm-hmm. almost everything, I'm not saying everything, almost, is in a box or a can, and it's a processed food.
Right. And so that, you know, I think that that I have respect for Dr. Atkins and the work that he did do. I'm not questioning his reputation. I'm questioning the reputation of his company, the Atkins Company, mm-hmm. because the question is, why wouldn't they allow an autopsy to be done to at least put the questions to rest? They had to know that people would be saying, well, why didn't you check? And I believe it's a possibility that the reason he fell was because he may have had a heart attack or what have you. Mm-hmm. Carol was mistaken two different stories. Back, I think in the 80s, Dr. Atkins had a heart attack that he ascribed to the cardiomyopathy that he had. At that point, the cardiologist said that he did not have any known arterial blockages. The problem is, yes, he fell, he hit his head, but we will never know for sure if he had heart disease or if he had a heart attack because there was no autopsy that was permitted. All we know is that some very basic information, and that's it. So the fact that we can't say positively that he did have a heart attack and that we can't say that he didn't, it leaves a bunch of unanswered questions, and mm-hmm. that was my problem.
There is no right or wrong because nobody's actually got the answer.
Right.
So
but why would you assume the opposite? For me, if I have somebody who says that their diet is the healthiest diet in the world, I don't want to assume that it's healthy. I want to assume that there's something wrong and then prove that it's healthy. Because at that point, when we know that something is not unhealthy, for example, then we can at least move forward with it because it's not doing us any harm.
Exactly right.
When you're not talking about good quality foods and good quality fats and so forth, I think there is a possibility he could have had heart problems mm-hmm. associated with the fats that he consumed in the diet. Okay.
Yeah.
Quite frankly,
great points, Ray.
A mind convinced against its will is of the same opinion still. And there should never come a time, guys, when you get so heatedly argumentative about the diet that you are pursuing. Because when you do that, you close down the possibility of another better program for you.
Yeah.
We need to take what we've got and build upon the information that we have.
Grab the golden nuggets.
And as more research is done, as more information comes to light, add those golden nuggets to your current inventory of golden nuggets mm-hmm. until you come to a program that is best suited for your life, your lifestyle, and your body.
Customized, right?
Yes.
All the way around. You grab all the golden nuggets, and you've got a custom lifestyle for yourself.
That's perfect for yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And, okay, so that's that. Let's go through and give some of our golden nuggets accumulated from the high-protein diet movement. How's that sound, Blythe?
Okay, sure.
All right, I'll get us started. Number one, high-protein diets unlock the fat cell's door. That's the purpose of a high-protein, low-carb program. It's to decrease insulin so that the door to the fat cells can be unlocked.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that the squatters that live in that house are going to leave. So just because the door is unlocked, if you've got squatters in there, meaning stubborn mm-hmm. fat that doesn't want to go, just because the door is unlocked doesn't mean that they're going to evict themselves.
Okay.
There are other factors that you've got to come into play that will determine whether or not you lose that fat. Otherwise, anybody who went on a high-protein diet would lose weight and lose it continuously, but that's not what we see.
Then we'd all be walking around a bunch of lean machines, right?
We would. Because if the Atkins diet worked and worked for the long term in the way that it was, mm-hmm. people would do it. They would.
Right.
Because it is something that is somewhat tolerable if we get results. The problem is most people get results for a period of time, and then those results reverse themselves.
Well, that and then, you know, kind of to touch on the last podcast we had, all the marketing and advertising for the foods that are out there. I mean, almost everything in the grocery store, in the center aisles, are processed foods. The food that is readily available for busy lifestyles are mostly processed carbohydrates.
Right. Yep. If we can just avoid those, I mean, I think that's probably the greatest contribution that Dr. Atkins had to the nutrition world, and that is refined carbohydrates, when it comes to weight loss, are the devil.
They're the enemy.
They are. There's no doubt about it. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have some from time to time. But if you are looking to lose weight and you want to achieve extraordinary levels of leanness especially, you need to be control how many of those refined carbohydrates you consume.
Okay. Hey, I have a question for you, Ray. Yeah. How are we going to kick out those squatters?
Well, that's what this whole podcast is about. We've given all kinds of tools, techniques throughout the 39 podcasts that we've given and the 39 more to come.
Okay. So well, that's the, can I say something?
Yeah.
I just quickly want to touch on one little teeny tiny tool that everybody listening has access to.
Yeah.
Probably within arm's reach, if not arm's reach, a very short distance to walk, is water. Water will help get some of those squatters out of there.
Very good. Very simple.
Yeah.
Very easy.
Water is very simple.
And yeah, I can't voice how many people are walking around here mildly dehydrated. And when that happens, nothing in your body works properly. So that's a very good point. Drink some water. That's a start. But we have all kinds of tons of tips and techniques that you can apply to your life that all help to get those squatters out. Things like interval training, for example.
Yes.
Are a way to get the body to start evicting some of those fat cells that are hanging out within the fat. And those fat cells, like I say, if you do interval training and you're constantly eating carbohydrates, high levels of carbs, and your insulin levels chronically elevated, well, the door is locked. So that interval training can't evict the fat because the fat can't get out of a house that has a locked door.
You know what? We should probably do a podcast on different ideas. Just throw out like a brainstorming session, different ideas on high intensity interval training.
Absolutely. Definitely need to do that because I know we had questions on Facebook about Tabatas and how to implement them or different protocols for that. So, yeah,
I love when people go on and ask those questions.
Great idea.
If you guys haven't been onto our Facebook page, just log on to Facebook, type in Cut the Fat Podcast, all one long word. You'll find our page. Make sure you like our page and be sure to post your comments and questions and things up there. Ray and myself are on there as often as possible to get back to you on your questions. We also, Ray is great at this. He likes to post up questions and kind of like brain teasers to get you involved. So make sure you go on there, check us out. Also, our website, www.cutthefatpodcast.com. We've got recipes. We've got the podcasts you can listen to straight from there. Otherwise, you can go to iTunes, type in Cut the Fat, and up we come. Be sure you leave us a review. We love to read those. Positive, the good, the bad, and the ugly ones.
Well, put the good ones on there and email us the bad ones.
That will help us move up the scale, right?
Yeah. You know, we're at 300, I think, at this podcast, I think we're at 359, and we're still a 5-star podcast, which really, I don't think there are any other podcasts with that many 5-star ratings. And I don't say that to brag. I just say that because, you know, you and I, Blythe, we're somewhat competitive people, and we like to see that go off. So I would love to get that number up to 500.
Me too.
So if you guys can get on there, and if you haven't rated us, give us a rating on there, because I want to see that number go up to 500. That would be fantastic.
Always setting goals. It's great, isn't it?
It is. It is. So let's finish up with this discussion. Okay, so high protein, low carb unlocks the fat cells, but you have to do other things like interval training, drinking lots of water, building habit tasks into your life so that you're able to make or build systems that help you to maintain some of these habits.
That's right.
That kind of stuff. Okay, number two. Do you want to give one or do you want me to continue?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Number two is high protein diets can violate what we call the sensory specific satiety principle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what is that? Well, the sensory specific satiety principle involves the fact that we have a natural tendency to crave different flavors.
Mm.
And the reason that is because the body in evolution knows that when we eat different foods, we're exposed to different nutrients. So if we eat the same food over and over and over again, or get the same flavor over and over and over again, this is why the induction phase you can't maintain for long. Your body will start to send out very strong signals that say, eat something different, preferably something that has carbohydrates, because we need vitamins and minerals that we can't get from the savory flavor or the protein right. fatty flavor. So eating a very high or an induction phase type of diet where you're eating very low carbohydrate will have a tendency to violate the sensory-specific satiety principle. And what it ends up doing is it ends up causing major, major cravings that you cannot consciously fight. You'll find yourself gorging on a bag of Oreos one night, right. not knowing how you got there, how those Oreos got into your mouth. Because that's how strong this principle is. Because the body doesn't want you to get the same or eat the same food over and over and over again. It naturally dulls the taste buds to that food.
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't laughing because I think that's funny. I was laughing because there is so much truth to that.
Yeah, there is. So that's another principle.
Okay.
Number three, high protein diets need to be accompanied by the inner work of weight loss success. Just telling somebody what to do doesn't oftentimes result in long-term weight loss.
Right.
One of our, I want to say it was Jessica on Facebook, wrote a quote. I hope I got that right. Maybe it wasn't, but if it was Jessica, I'm glad I got the name right. But one of our listeners on Facebook wrote a quote that was by Zig Ziglar, who's a well-known motivational speaker, and he wrote, it went something like this, and that is. People say motivation is only temporary,
mm-hmm.
but so is bathing. That's why we do it every day.
I remember reading that one. Yeah.
And so there's a lot of inner work that goes on with weight loss, no matter what dietary program you pursue. And the problem, I think, with high protein programs, especially ones with names like Atkins program or Protein Power, when they have a name, you start to believe that, well, that is the solution, that is the only solution. I'm going to eat Atkins, and that's going to fix my problem. But there's right. a whole big list of things that happen beneath the surface that we also have to focus on if we want to succeed for the long term. Does that make
which
sense?
Which is all part of the whole educating yourself
right.
process. Yeah, that's a must. You have to become an expert, and I hope that we help in the process of that.
Absolutely. I love that phrase. If you're going to succeed with weight loss, you have to become an expert. You have to decide to become an expert in weight loss. You can't just be okay listening to other experts. You need to become an expert yourself. You need to be the person that people, whenever they have questions about fitness and health, they think about you. That's the level of depth that this information should impact your life.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Number five or four, vegetables should be added in high quantities to counterbalance the high protein, high fat diet that most of these programs suggest. So mm-hmm. non-starchy vegetables, lots and lots of salads, guys. I have never met somebody who got fat eating salads and carrots and tomatoes and...
Yeah, you know what? I have a saying that I like to tell all my clients, and I think it's important enough I'm going to tell everybody here too, is eat a rainbow of vegetables, yellow peppers, red peppers. Pretty much everything out there is green. You can find any green vegetable. But make sure you change it up. Get a variety that's going to help with the flavors, that's going to help with the satiety. You know, all of those things, mixing it up, is really, as far as like vitamins and nutrients and all those things that we need, it's going to help you in the long run. It's going to help you feel like you're getting a variety. And you're right. I've never seen anybody who gets fat from eating salads, because the amount of salad that you would have to eat to get an excess of calories, I don't even think you could fit in your stomach.
No, it's true. It's true. And so that's where I think some protein programs, people get caught up in the high protein. And they miss the importance of the vegetables.
That's exactly
again, a good high protein program incorporates large quantities of vegetables. I can pretty much say that that's a certainty.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And finally, a lot of this, guys, a lot of the story with high protein, low carb eating is really about refined carbohydrates. Our body just doesn't know what to do with the quantity of carbohydrates that we can consume in a refined form. If a caveman were handed a loaf of bread, he probably would use it as a pillow. And so the fact of the matter is our bodies have the same problem figuring out what to do with those carbohydrates. It just doesn't know what to do with them. And it overwhelms the body's natural homeostasis, its natural systems of balance. And so if we were to eliminate refined carbohydrates, I could venture to say that that is probably 80% of the high protein story.
Okay. I think that where I get the whole processed carbohydrates thing mixed in is because the stuff that is readily available and heavily marketed is the stuff, the unnatural types of carbohydrates. I mean, how many commercials for rolled oats or steel cut oats do you see? None.
Yeah, it's true.
I guess that's where I always shift to the processed carbs. But right. you can overload on, you know, eating too much oatmeal or too many, it would take a lot, but, you know, like too many potatoes or things like that.
You can.
If you stick with the natural foods, it's hard to overload on those things.
Right. And that's, if you were to avoid the refined carbs and incorporate potatoes on an occasional basis, you wouldn't have a problem. Mm-hmm. But the problem is not just the fact that refined carbohydrates impact our blood sugar so heavily, but it's the fact that they cause a domino effect in our life that causes us to seek out other refined carbohydrates.
That's exactly right.
Yep. So there's a lot of issues there. I guess the final point would be to, you know, in the end, it may be good to seek out and look at the Paleolithic lifestyle, which is kind of a natural high protein program that incorporates tons of vegetables.
You know why I really like the Paleolithic is because it's like reverting back to the cave days. I mean, if you can picture yourself a cave person and only having there are so many choices. I mean, going back, 20 podcasts ago or something, we had talked about the link between having to work to get your food or exercise and burn energy to actually capture your food or collect your food. We don't have that anymore. It's as easy as walking over to the cupboard, grabbing a bag of chips, sitting down on the couch and eating them to no end because you bought a family size bag.
Right.
There's no link anymore between the exercise to get the food. That is no longer there. So when I think Paleolithic, I think natural. I think it makes it simple. You can almost formulate your own menu in your head because you know what was available to cave people. Now, I'm not saying you need to go out and start killing animals and eating them and things like that, but think along those guidelines. Very, very simple. Would a caveman have had this?
Right.
The answer is either yes or no.
Right. It really does make it simple. When mealtime comes around, it's either fruits, vegetables, nuts, meat, or eggs. And so that's, you know, if you can do that, you're going to be well on the path to achieving a lot of your health goals. And the point isn't to you know, just push the whole Paleolithic lifestyle. This podcast is about much more than just Paleolithic living. I mean, there's other ways of trying to implement some of these other cultural foods and such in our lifestyle in such a way that doesn't cause weight gain. It certainly can be done. It's just, you know, when life is simple, you have a tendency to accomplish a lot more, I think.
Yes. Yep. I totally agree with that. And that is a whole nother topic for another podcast because I could talk for days about that.
Absolutely. All right, guys. So that's our discussion on the high protein Atkins style eating. I hope you got some value from that. Do you have any final points, final words of wisdom?
My final words of wisdom will be this. I think that everybody needs to just sit themselves down, maybe put a mirror in front of you, and tell yourself the truth. Is this something that I can stick with? And be honest with yourself. You know, look at the foods you're choosing and don't start making excuses. I'm going to kind of go back to the where you talked about how the 1998 book versus the 2002 book. We start sneaking foods and artificial this and artificial that. Start thinking in terms of health, and with it will come weight loss. So, mm-hmm. you know, going with the whole bacon versus maybe chicken breast or a lean slice of meat, organic meat even, you know, just to make it a little bit higher up on the ranks. Choose what is healthy, and in return you will receive weight loss.
Very true. And, you know, our intention isn't to say that bacon is terrible, because you can have bacon. But you just don't want to make it your main staple. You want to get some of that variety, not just in your vegetables, but also in your proteins. And
variety is the key, right? Because I think some people see that on the menu. Oh, my gosh, I'm having bacon 3 times a day. That's where I'm afraid people will take that, because it leaves the door open for that.
Right. All right, guys. Well, that's our discussion. Okay. Again, check us out at Cut the Fat Podcast. Go to Facebook, search for Cut the Fat Podcast, all one word. Make sure you like us. Get on there. Tell all your friends. Rate us on iTunes. And I guess we'll see you at the next podcast.
We will. We'll be chatting your ear off again.
See ya.
Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.